This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good morning. How are you?
Very good. A busy day on this side of the Atlantic with the latest UK inflation numbers, as well as the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rachel Reeves' spring statement. I first wanted to ask you about the inflation number we had this morning, with that falling slightly to 2.8% in February. The important thing is it was below analyst expectations. They had expected a slightly higher rate of 2.9%. So maybe this augurs well, or is this just an outlier?
It's interesting when we talk about inflation numbers, whether it be Bank of England looking at it or the Fed looking at it or the ECB, oftentimes what I've heard pretty commonly referred to is like using a three-month kind of rolling average of these numbers to try and get a little more clarity. Because as you just mentioned, is this just kind of a fluke? Was there some weather? Was there something that caused it? But again, when we look at this on a rolling basis, the UK has been struggling with, as other central banks have, kind of sticky inflation and slowing growth. 2.8% is a welcome lower number, right? We're down back in the twos. That's much better than up in the threes. And as you mentioned previously, we're at three, but forecasts for this one were also to remain unchanged year over year at 3%. So 2.8%, better than expected. That's a start, but as we saw with the CPI in the United States as well, that cooling inflation, we want to see that stick, right? We don't want to see that one off and then just jump back up in the next one. So we'll see as that continues to roll out. But a bit of a theme here, continuation of inflation, just jostling around back and forth for a lot of different central banks.
And it's not often really that we see a budget announced by the Chancellor of the Exchequer, the spring statement, or indeed the autumn budget, so affected by what's happening at your side of the Atlantic, because the economy is now predicted to grow at a much slower pace this year. Presenting her spring statement, Chancellor Rachel Reeves says that the Office for Budget Responsibility, which is employed by the government as the official forecaster, says the economy will now grow by 1% this year rather than the October prediction of 2%. And a lot of that is down to Trump's tariffs, also the spend on the military. We're going to have to put more money into the military because of the geopolitical situation. But Trump's tariffs have put a lot of doubt in the minds of economists, forecasters, and speculators. We still don't know how it's going to affect the UK. We were thinking that maybe not perhaps as much as some of the European countries or elsewhere like Canada and Mexico, because there isn't so much of a trade imbalance between the UK and the USA. But Donald Trump has threatened to impose extra tax because of our VAT here, which is 20%. So it's very difficult for Rachel Reeves to make a really reliable forecast because she doesn't really know quite how good or bad things are going to be over the next few months and years, because we don't know the effect of the tariffs yet.
Yeah, that's the tricky part in all of it, is the question mark around the US, et cetera, has already created this dynamic in Europe. We see the significant uptick in military budget spending in Europe. And now, as you mentioned, Rachel Reeves, the UK, seeing a similar uptick in, well, if we don't know, we have to kind of budget in for ourselves what we're going to do here to try and fit the bill, if you will. So it's an interesting dynamic, and it adds in some pressures. There's also some question marks that come with that, Johnny. If you think about military spending, what does that do? Well, there's some pros and some cons, as everything in economics. But if we're talking about a huge uptick in military spending from Europe, for example, Germany coming out with the idea of, what was it, 800 or 600 billion, some massive amount of euros to start funding domestically the production of different military technologies, that in some ways, the money's got to get printed, right? It's got to get borrowed. So the idea is that could keep some sticky inflation around. But then the other question is, if it's domestic spending, does that in some ways boost economic activity in a positive way? That's the question. I think that's part of the bull case for the European region is that, well, this big uptick in spending is not going, at least in theory, we'll see. A lot of it's not expected to go to the US for military stuff. It may still find its way here in some ways, but the idea is a lot of domestic, local, European companies could perhaps take that as you know, stimulus to their operations. So I don't know, it's a really interesting time in terms of that shift in dynamic. And as you mentioned, it's an unreliable situation. At one point it could be like this and the next something could shift and there could be some complete dynamic shift. But it does seem like the dynamic here recently from the Trump administration is a bit of a softer tone on Russia, looking to resolve that. And that does seem to be leaning towards a pullback on the Ukrainian support stuff and more trying to find a middle ground between the two nations.
And going back to UK inflation, which, as I said before, fell by more than expected in February, has that had any effect on sterling today, Nick?
So yes, this morning when we got the inflation number for the UK, we did see a pretty significant drop in the pound against the US dollar. Makes a lot of sense. A lot of the bullish case here recently for the pound has been that narrative of sticky inflation. Bank of England is reluctant to cut interest rates. We got a little bit of that here recently with some slightly more hawkish than expected stances from the Bank of England. But cooling inflation, as we discussed earlier, we want to see that roll forward again and again, right? You want to see inflation staying down, not necessarily just coming down and spiking one way or the other. That's the tricky part about economic data. So with the CPI for the UK coming in soft, we do want to see that trend persist in the downward direction, getting closer to that 2% target. If we remember, the UK actually saw inflation come down to that 2% target, but the Bank of England was, I suppose, smart looking back with hindsight to not act too quickly on that because it did bounce right back up shortly after.
And last week, we saw those dovish comments coming from Fed Chief Jerome Powell. Nick, is there a bit of a Fed put at the moment?
It seems like it. The market has, at least for now, bottomed out. I'm looking at the US stock market here, bounced back quite a bit. And the dollar index really has remained mostly flat, down pretty significantly in the last few months. So when we take a look at the stance of the market in response to those Powell remarks, the two big dynamics here right now that markets seem to be juggling with is there a Fed put, which is, for those not familiar with options, the idea is when you buy a put, the concept is that's a protection, right? So when you buy puts in your portfolio, it protects you to the downside. The common expression is the Fed put is the idea that if the markets were to have some serious volatility, Powell and team would step in to do something about it to try and help or save the day. If there's not a Fed put, or a Trump put, which we could discuss in a moment, if there's not those dynamics, if they say, oh, you know, stock market is not really first and foremost for us right now, we're not too worried about that, you would say that the put is not necessarily there, or it's perhaps way more out of the money, meaning, you know, it's they're not going to step in unless something really serious happens. Right now, Johnny, it feels like Powell, in his expression to be, as you mentioned, pretty dovish last week, soft on tariffs, mentioning that they could potentially just be a transitory one-off more expressed bump in prices, it feels like there is a bit of a Fed put out there. He mentioned also one thing that he leaned into heavily is the longer term expectations to get back to 2%. He basically said we're still intact. I mean, that's about as dovish as you can get because you have growth concerns and you still have sticky inflation. And yet many of the critics of Powell would say, how can you possibly be okay with still cutting interest rates when inflation is not at that 2% target and doesn't really seem to be really trending towards that? But Powell really took the long term. We still think we're on path, and looking at history, tariffs are usually a short term inflation bump, not a persistent one. So again, the one thing we have to be careful about is back in 2021, he really used the word transitory many times with the COVID pandemic. The one thing I would say on that, though, is that the COVID pandemic was such a difficult thing to predict for everyone that, you know, I think the tariff scenario is a little bit different because we do have a semi-recent example with Trump 1.0, with the 2018-2019 tariff stuff with China. And that, as Powell mentioned in his press conference, that did actually result in a one-time bump. But again, the reason this is so controversial is because then you could also fire back once more and say, well, yes, but that was a time where inflation was not such a problem. Now it is. Could something like tariffs this time around really derail the already sensitive inflation stuff? So that is where the risk is at. That is where this market is uncertain. That's why the VIX has been elevated in recent weeks. And with Trump, you know, we just have that, as we discussed earlier, at any moment, a tweet or a Truth Social post could come out with new information that shocks the system once more.
And it's not very linear, is it? When you have these ad hoc comments coming from Trump on social media. Although I suppose this date of April the 2nd, when we should know more about what's going to happen with the tariffs, is going to be quite crucial.
Yeah. And the thing too, Johnny, is that we have the two extremes. We have Powell and we have Trump. They're exact opposites in their, you mentioned the ad hoc comments from Trump. He is unpredictable. And again, this is not a political stance. This is just how he behaves, right? He fires from the hip. He makes quick decisions. You may like that. You may dislike that. That's not what we're discussing. But the difference in the way they display their messaging is very, very different. And you have to put on two different hats. You have to put on one hat for Powell studying and one hat for Trump studying, because as you mentioned, there's that April 2nd thing. If this was Powell, Powell would keep a relatively cool and collected stance until April 2nd and then deliver a message. Trump will not do that. Trump will the whole way through pull us along, right? He'll drop comments to reporters, and none of this is necessarily in writing stuff. It's more off the cuff or in interviews on a microphone. So two very different dynamics. Both can move the markets substantially.
Okay, Nick, fascinating stuff. Thank you very much. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
All right. Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.